listening to the Power Word Gold podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Flux, and now, on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Word Gold podcast, episode number 9. It is Saturday, the 14th of May, 2011. I'm your host, Flux, along with my co-host, Joe Keen.
Hi, it's Joe Keen, the guy who hasn't reached Gold Cap yet.
And actually, today on the podcast, we have a special guest. We have Nev from Auction House Addict.
Hello.
And so we're excited to have her here with us. She's going to be with us for the whole show, so that's pretty dang exciting. Let's see. This is the Power Gold podcast. Power Word Gold is a blog dedicated to sharing the latest World of Warcraft gold-making tips, tricks, news, and strategies. We create high-quality gold-making posts, guides, tutorials, videos, and podcasts, which is what you're listening to right now. If you want to get your question answered on the Power Word Gold podcast, there's three different ways you can do that. Well, four, actually. You can leave a comment on this podcast blog post. You can email your question to powerwordgold@gmail.com, or also you can send us an audio MP3 and then we'll play it on the air. And the other way you can do that is to send us a mention on Twitter. Our Twitter is @powerwordgold. So that's some of the ways that you can get a hold of us. The URL for Power Word Gold is powerwordgold.net. And also, you can follow us on Facebook, and you can join our Reddit group, which is reddit.com/r/wowgoldmaking. And if you are a blogger, make sure you are putting your posts up on Wow Gold Making. Joe Keen, why don't you let people know how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, I'm Joe Keen. I don't have a blog, but you can follow me on Twitter, and my name is spelled J-O-K-I-N-E-E.
All right.
I'm glad I never said that wrong.
You never say that wrong? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. And I see where you're getting at there. And then, Nev, why don't you let people know how they can get a hold of you?
Hi, I'm Nev. You can find my blog at ahaddict.blogspot.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at NevAhAddict.
Awesome, awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Nev. So what we talk about first in this first segment is what we've been doing in World of Warcraft to get arrested by the police. I can tell that there's a lot of people like falling down and getting hurt, like old people, or I live next to a police station, so You'll hear the people coming for me. All right. So what we're going to talk about, what we talk about in the first segment is what we've been doing in gold making in World of Warcraft this week. And I'm going to go ahead and start that off, and then we'll pass it on to Joaquin and Nev so that you guys can let us know. To prepare for this, I kind of went through my sales for the last 7 days and kind of looked for trends and things that had been selling well on my server. The big seller was Black and Dragon Scales have been selling for between 17 to 19 gold a piece, which is really great because, I mean, those are relatively easy. I can get, 30, 40 of those in an hour. And when you can loot up 17 gold every couple mobs, it's pretty good. Vendor recipes have still been going well. I do my circuit of Booty Bay and Outlands for the most part, and a little bit in Stormwind, and those have been selling for about 19 gold a piece. I've sell quite a few of those. Dust of Disappearance was a really strong seller for me at the beginning of the week when there was really no competition. I don't really know if I did myself good by barking or if I actually screwed myself over in the long run, because by the end of the week, I noticed that maybe it was Mage Shadow. No, Mage Shadow. No, like he did a post this week about Dust of Disappearance. which I liked it, would feel would have been influenced by our blog, our podcast last week because we talked about it. But I mean, so by the end of the week, somebody had two or three people had come into the Dust of Disappearance market and driven the price down to like 3 gold apiece, which is bordering on not profitability because, you know, depending on the price of black fowls. But at the beginning of the week, I was able to sell them and make triple, you know, sell them for 6 gold apiece, which is actually pretty good. And I sold quite a few, but now I have a back stock, which I don't like because I don't like having a bunch of stuff clogging up my banks. And if the prices stay low, I don't have a very easy way to get rid of them. So let's see. Fathom Eels actually have been selling well, 5 gold apiece. If you're over in Tolbarad, there's lots of fishing areas there. Bring potion of water walking with you and fish up some of the Fathom Eels. They're used for agility food, and those have been selling well. Let's see what else. Large Brilliant Shards. I did a couple runs of upper and lower Blackrock Spire and got the Large Brilliant Shards from disenchanting those items. And those are selling for between 25 to 30 gold apiece, which seems pretty good when I ended up getting like 13 of those out of that instance. There's a lot of bosses in there. Let's see, going along with that, Infinite Dust, where me and you, Nev, we talked a little bit about this, and actually I think Joaquin this week about how you did a post about how you were looking for Infinite Dust, and I really have been selling that for higher than Hypnotic Dust, which is important to note because it's important because it's interesting when the older mats end up becoming more valuable than the newer mats, and there's less people farming the older mats. That's a really good market to move into.
I've found the same thing.
Recipes of Deviant Delight. Recipe of Deviant Delight. Cooking recipe is very, very common on the Horde side. I hardly see it on the Horde side for more than 3 gold apiece, but on the Alliance side, it sells for 200 to 300 gold. So I've been buying up Horde side versions of that recipe and flipping them over on the Alliance side. And there's sometimes some competition, but for the most part, I'm still able to sell. I've sold probably about 10 of those at 200 to 300 gold a piece. So that's a really nice one. Let's see what else. Electrified Ether and handful of Obsidian Bolts have been selling still like champs. I talked about that on the last couple podcasts and they just continue to sell. Do you guys know, Nev, I know you're an engineer. What do you think is the reason why these two engineering items are selling so well?
To be honest, my engineering is still quite low level. I'm only at about, 225, something like that. So
okay.
I'm guessing if the handful of copper bolts and handful of this and handful of that that I've seen so far, I'm guessing that the handful of obsidian bolts are used in quite large numbers on higher level recipes, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
haven't got there yet.
I think my guess is mainly, like I said a little earlier on another show, that it was probably people buying the materials to craft the pets. There was a note this week about the fact that there's going to be a new pet for 150 pets recipe or achievement. And I think people are trying to pick up pets. I don't notice that. I don't know if you guys sell many pets, but I've been seeing a lot of pet sales pick up this week. Obsidian hatchlings for 300 gold have been selling. Calico cats have been selling for like 150. Those are just dollar on recipes. And I think people, now that they know that there's going to be something more beneficial for 150 pets, which is Nut, which people are speculating is a squirrel, which would be pretty awesome. It reminds me of Scat or Scrat. They have a little picture on the WoW Insider article of Scrat from Ice Age.
All right, yeah.
He was the best part of the show. And then the one I kind of want, I've flipped like Dragon Killer Tunic, which is a 359 epic. Joaquin, you'd be so proud of me. I flipped my 359
nice.
Epic.
Nice.
I bought it for 3.25, I think, and I sold for 5.2, I think. So
yeah.
Quick 2,000 gold. Actually, the thing about epics I noticed is that you don't want to try to overprice them. You want to try to price them normally, but you want to try to bargain down the initial price, and that's where you're making your gold.
Yeah, well, if it's like a world drop, and it's rare, you might try to sell it for a high price first and then like getting the price down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But because they are rare and the people who really want them don't really care if it's 5k more,
because
it's a very rare item and hard to get.
Yeah. The pets from Dalaran and Netherstorm have been selling well, and even moths from Exodar. The way I would get to Exodar generally is just take the boat from Stormwind, and then when you get to Darnassus, there's a portal in the portal room to Exodar, and portal right there, and go grab your moths from Exodar. And let's see, the last thing I wanted to talk about was Heavenly Shards. And this is a pretty, I thought this was a pretty cool idea. I used it this week, and basically what I ran into the problem was I was making more magic lamps. Oh, those have been selling well. I forgot that because it was on my Horde character. I didn't log on today. I've sold my like fifth or sixth magic lamp for 4.7k on the Horde side, and they take about 1k mats to make. But the I needed materials to make magic lamps, which is an enchanting recipe, and it takes so many heavenly shards, so many greater celestials, and a maelstrom crystal. And I didn't like the heavenly shards were 90 gold a piece on my server, which is pretty dang good. Like I saw them get down to as low as 25 gold or even I think a little less on the server before, but now they're up. And so instead of buying out those 90 gold heavenly shards, what I did was I went into the auction house. I searched for blue items, so rare items that were level 83 and above, and I sorted them by buyout price, and I bought every single one that was under 70 gold. And then because I have the Bountiful Bags perk for disenchanting, then I disenchanted them and I ended up proccing about 5 extra heavenly shards on top of what I was just getting from disenchanting. So if you, this actually could be a somewhat viable way to make money, not necessarily even if the market's right for heavenly shards on your server. So like on my case, 90 gold a piece, and I ended up putting up about, I bought about 15 or 20 items, and a lot of these are crafting items that there's a lot of on the auction house, so the prices end up dropping down to like 30 or 40 gold a piece for some of the cloth ones especially. Or even some leather working. There's some cloaks and stuff you can get for really cheap. And so by having that Bountiful Bags, if you're in a guild that's high enough to have that perk, it really doesn't even make sense to buy Heavenly Shards. It makes more sense for me to try disenchanting if you have the good supply of cheap items. So that's what I've been working on this week. Yes?
By the way, about the procs, I just got this into my mind. If you have noticed that there's very cheap jewel amount epics, like on my server,
mm-hmm.
some of the cloaks are around 200 and 300, and the maelstrom crystals are around 200 and 300.
Mm-hmm.
Get the cheap cloaks, and if you have the bountiful bags, you have a chance to double your money, but if you're not getting the proc, you're not losing anything.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing I would say with that is I twittered about this. If you're a enchanter and you're running Zul'Aman, Zul'Garub, when purple goes up, don't roll disenchant. Never roll disenchant. Never. If you have bountiful bags, never roll. You want to roll greed because the Bountiful Bags perk only works on items that you have in your bags. So in order to proc an extra maelstrom crystal, you want to always roll greed. And if you win that roll, it's exact same as a disenchant roll, but then it'll go in your bags. Then you disenchant it, and then you have the chance to proc a maelstrom crystal. So that's for enchanters that have the Bountiful Bags perk, is roll greed. All right, so Joaquin. Yep. Why don't we get into what you've been doing this week in gold making?
Yep. So, my normal seller, Mysterious Fortune cards, I stopped barking my cards probably most of the time. Well, when I log on my DK, who has the cards and makes them, and I'm posting my auctions on him, I will usually bark a few times, and I get around, well, it depends, but around 1,000 gold per day with them. So nothing huge, but I'm not putting any effort into them at the moment. And I noticed that I sold my first Ancient Bracer Major Strength, which requires Maelstrom Crystals and Volatile Earth and Hypnotic Dust. On my server, the mats were around 500 to 600, and I sold it for the double the amount the mat cost. But it wasn't moving very fast, so I will probably just make one again and try to sell it.
Yeah.
Also, just a second.
No problem. I was actually going to say I have that on my Enchanter too, and so I might try checking that on the Undermine Journal and picking up that and doing that.
Yeah. Ancient Offhand Superior Intellect. That's one good seller. It requires not really high enchanting, but semi-high.
That's the 40 enchanting. Intellect to offhand slash shield?
Yep. It has kind of easy mats. Let me check the mats. 6 Hypnotic Dust and 4 Kratos Celestial Essences.
Mm-hmm.
And the Celestial Essences are around 35 and Hypnotic Dust around 5. And I've sold the scroll for 200 plus. So if you see some ready-made enchanting scrolls being high in price, try to make one or two and try to sell them, because the price, especially for the ones which are used to level enchanting, the prices are just so different.
Yeah.
Just if someone levels his enchanting and gets 5 of those, he will probably just dump them for cheap price. But as I did in start of the expansion, I bought all the 2 cheap ones, and actually I've been able to sell them for even 10 times plus profit, because people were just dumping them all the time, all the not so good enchants, not the best enchants, but people still use them. So
our guild bank got pretty full. Our guild bank got pretty full, those, at the beginning of the expansion.
Yeah, well, I bought like 100 block value on a shield, the enchant, and for less than 10 gold, and been selling them through the expansion for plus 50.
Is that tough? That's not tough shield, is it? Or is...
No, it's mastery. Okay. I think it's mastery this time. It's mastery.
Yeah, the tough shield one is one I've been actually selling for about 120 gold a piece, and that's an older one. I think it has dodge on it, and I don't know if people just like it better or if it's for leveling or what. I think it's either a Burning Crusade or Lich King enchant. So,
this is not... Well, most of the people are not dumping so much these ready-made enchants anymore, but if you post your own and you see there's so many underpriced, just buy them. There, anyways, the price is gonna go high in some point, because some people just don't care, and the buyers who buy them overpriced, they don't just, if they do pugs and they don't have a guild, they just don't bother to find anyone to do the enchant. Yeah. They just buy it.
They just suck it up and do it. I know it's the same way for like Inferno Rubies. You just gotta grit your teeth and basically buy what you need. If you don't wanna, you know, you're willing to pay more to not have to interact with people.
Yep. Normal daily gems, of course. It's always, as always. Ember Topazes, I've been able to sell around 60 of them in 2 days, while the price have been around 40 gold. And actually I just transmuted from all of my Hessenite site, and I bought Cinder Bloom for 90 silver per one, and it's around, it's 18 gold per stack, and I transmuted Ember Topazes, And
do you sell that? You're saying that's 40 gold cut or
uncut?
Okay.
And they kind of, if someone, I've noticed that if someone buys them, they buy like 10 or 20 at a time.
Yeah, usually. I've noticed that too. I've had the same thing going on when they tend to buy a lot. It seems like it's either jewel crafters cutting to level up the skill up, or jewel crafters that are selling cut versions and they just want to keep their supply going. So,
yeah, meta gems. The prices really hover around. Did I say it right?
Yeah, hover.
Yeah, yeah. It hovers around 100 to 80 to 90 or up to 300 gold. So I just take my opportunities once I see they go for more than 120 gold, and I just sell them in that point. Been selling some decent amounts. Also, some random cut yellow and blue gems. Actually, the hit blue gems go for 40 gold, so that's pretty nice. But all of these gems, they don't really move fast, so you just need to get them rid of them eventually.
Yeah.
This week, I haven't had chance to find a lot of ore, around 200 stacks of element gem around, and 120 stacks of pyrite for 40 to 60 gold per stack. So I have, at the moment, I have
a lot. I think it's called buttload in English.
Yeah, for
you showed me your guild tabs full. You showed me your guild tabs, and I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's not that much yet.
Oh, you're going even higher.
Yeah, if I find cheap enough, because I don't see really it going
much risk
lower
it.
Than 40 gold.
Yeah.
I've been also selling, of course, Inferno rubies, cut ones.
Mm-hmm.
The strength ones are the only ones which are kind of low in price.
Yeah,
all the others are kind of, yeah.
Me and Nev both agreed. We were chilling and basically comparing our my sales figures back and forth, and it was Delicate, I believe, and then Brilliant, and then further down the list of our my sales overalls was Bold. They're not the I don't know why they're not the best. Maybe there's, I don't know why. maybe more people buying them, so they've more supply, so there's more undercuts. I don't know exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think strength DPS is the most popular one for people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Somehow I feel like it, but
yeah, no, because there's DKs, paladins, and warriors that all use it. So
yeah. Well, also been selling demon size for 35 gold to 45 gold each. They actually, once the price go up, happens same with the ember topazes. Some guy just comes and buys like 20. So I also transmuted, because I transmuted some demon size from Nightstones and Twilight Jasmines, because from Nightstones I could of course do those chokers and make hypnotic dust, but hypnotic dust prices are so low at the moment, so it's not really good move. So I transmuted those. I sold some Amani hex sticks for 70 gold per one, and I bought them for 20 or less than 20 gold each.
Well, me and my wife, I paid that much, so I know why, because me and my wife were in there and we were trying to open up all the achievements called what's the name of the achievement? It's called Hex Mix.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to open up every single NPC. So it'd be like, open up three and be like, oh, we had like one girl we didn't need. I'm like, hold on, teleport out of dungeon, go to the auction house. I'm like, I'm buying these 60 gold apiece. So I bought three more, go back in, open up three. Okay, finally we got it. All right, let's get out of here. So and actually a funny story just to interject really quick. I was able to solo Zul'aman on my hunter for opening up hex sticks, essentially by using camouflage and deterrence and some feigned death and even clever use of rocket boots, although it's not necessarily needed, to get past the first set of mobs and then get down to open up hex sticks. And until I would open up the hex stick with the vendor. And then once I got the vendor that sells items and I would buy the sealed scroll case, then I would get myself killed and then resurrect and run back out, reset the instance, go back in. And I did this and I ended up getting it like 5 times. And so I know a little bit more about what's in the sealed scroll cases so far. It was all mysterious fortune cards and one scroll of rune fortitude too. So if you're a hunter, or I don't know, maybe a rogue could do it with sprint and vanish. The mobs will still eventually come at you, but if you run across the little pond, they're a little bit less likely to come at you. And even if they do come at you, you can usually open up a few sticks and then, you know, before you have to feign death again. So that was a little fun adventure.
Yeah, let's continue. Some cliffs, like normally some cliffs, my cliff selling has been slowed down a bit. Well, more like completely. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Some dust of disappearance, not a huge loads, but I actually saw someone wanted to buy some dust of disappearance on a trade chat. Mm. Wanted to buy 20. Mm. I sold him 24 six gold each.
Yeah, I noticed once in a while my bark will go off and somebody will just buy out like 40 at once. So I think people know that if they don't get it now, they might not get it and they might have to pay 10 gold apiece.
Yeah, Arcanite rods, that's normal, just little things like that. Arcanite rods for 200 gold. And also, I sold one titanium rod for 500 gold.
Crazy.
Raw Inferno rubies. I think that's about it.
Cool. Nev.
Yes, I'm here.
Talk a little bit about what you've doing in gold making this last week.
Well, I think anybody who reads my blog knows that I'm very much glyphs all the way. But a couple of weeks ago, I hit a milestone for myself and I decided that I wasn't going to glyph my way to the million. So I've been investigating other avenues, if shall we say. So I'm still keeping up with glyphs, but I'm trying to then add on top. So this week, what have I got? I've dipped back into the Mysterious Fortune cards. There's quite some stiff competition on my server. They're usually around 10 or 11 gold each.
Mm-hmm.
So I just dip in and out. When nobody else is barking, I dip in, sell 20, 30, 40, and then dip out again.
What's the Blackfellow Inks going for on your auction house?
Off the top of my head, I'm not actually sure. I think they're sort of between 7 and 10 gold.
Okay, so depending on prices of Blackfellow Inks,
yeah,
you might be just breaking even, but the key is you're selling them, right? That's the key. Like, even if it's an even price of Blackfellow Inks, if they're selling, you're converting, you're shuffling your herbs effectively.
That's it. I mean, the thing is, because I do so many glyphs, I don't actually have spare Blackfellows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big one for stockpiling. I'm very much the Japanese just-in-time system, you know? Mm-hmm. I buy them, make my glyphs, and get out of there.
Yeah.
Actually, today, the Blackfellow's up at around 15 gold, so the Mysterious Fortune card people are... they're probably making quite a bit of money because the herbs aren't that high. They somehow the ink prices always stay a lot higher than the herb prices. So you'd think that scribes who know how much the herbs are and how much ink they can get wouldn't buy the Blackfellow inks.
But yeah, I think a lot of times the Blackfellow inks are probably up for sale for people that want to get glyphs made by scribes.
Yeah, I think so too. But so in my bid to expand my empire, I'm dabbling in the jewel crafting market. Inferno rubies, the three main cuts, been selling well for me. The meta gems, I was one of those people who went out early on and invested quite heavily in the three world drop recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Burning, Reverberating, and Agile? And they're still selling well for me, the Metagems.
How much over mat cost are they going for?
About 40. It varies, to be honest. The uncut Shadow Spirits have been really high this week. They've been up at the 180 mark this week.
Okay.
But the cuts are still selling for 215,
okay, good, yeah.
220. So, you know, I'm still making money on the cuts.
Do you have people on your server that try to keep prices for certain items up? Do you have the feeling that happens sometimes? I know I think that happens on my server.
I think there are some main players who, I don't know whether or not they've come to an agreement, but they certainly don't undercut by any large margins. I mean, it was vicious when these new cuts first came out. I was the first one on the server with the agile cut.
Oh, wow.
And I was charging in. I had about, I think it was about, I worked it out, about 32 hours of market domination. and I was selling at 1,000 gold.
Wow.
A cut. And people were coming to me and saying, man, that's expensive. And I'm like, I'm the only one who's got the recipe.
Nice.
I've paid a fortune for the recipe. Mm-hmm. You want it first thing, you've got to pay through the nose as well, you know. But on the second, halfway through the second day, there were two others, and they were undercutting by 100, 150 gold.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, guys, look, you've spent a fortune on the recipe. Undercut me by 20 gold. You'll make loads of money. They're still selling, and we can all make good money. But
yeah, I like looking at, like, I like coming back the next day, and when I tend to do, like, when I see that the price has only dropped by a couple gold, I know that me and the people I'm working with, like, know what we're doing. Like, I put it up at 32, but by the next day, if it's only down to like 29, I know, like, yeah, this isn't too bad, you know.
Yeah,
everybody can make a little bit of money here.
I think we have a lot of that, especially in the gem market. The glyph market, we seem to have a lot of levelers at the moment. And you'll have these glyphs that have been selling on average 100, 150, 200 gold, and then somebody will come along and post it for 6 gold.
I think it's a lot of times people get these bright ideas about getting into glyphs that they'll make so much money, but then they get frustrated and they just get mad and they just start posting for a low price because they make too many of one item or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing that I think, but I mean, I have every glyph. Because inscription is one of my oldest professions, and I was lucky I maxed it long before the end of Wrath. So, I mean, I tend to work on the Ethereal and the Ink of the Sea glyphs now, with just the very top end of the other inks. And if I make two or three Lion's Ink glyphs a week, then that's busy for that market. Glyphs going well. The other thing I've been selling this week, you may have seen my post last week, chocolate cookies. Still selling 50, 60 gold a stack. I now have 4 alts doing the cooking dailies, and sending all the cocoa beans because their cooking is such low level. I'm leveling my cooking and just using the tokens to buy the cocoa beans.
Yeah, because you can. That was one of the things I did in Project Goblin was go right away, even at the lowest level, like level 15, and buy do that one daily and get the cocoa beans. So,
well, the thing is, the alts that are sort of just abandoned in Stormwind, you know, they may as well get their cooking up, but they can't use any of the tokens for a long, long while. So yeah, I'm just 4 or 5 alts doing the cooking daily, especially if it's one of the easy ones, and send the cocoa beans over and. Chocolate cookie queen, here we come. The other thing I've been doing is I've gone back to my leatherworking and the bloodied leather set, the leather agi PvP set. And I've been making quite a few of those this week. Not selling in huge quantities, ones and twos of each piece, but at good money. And good profits as well, because I'm actually picking the leather up when I'm doing my toll barrow dailies.
Ah, okay.
And I'm transmuting very cheap volatile lifes that I managed to pick up. I think I picked up about 800 volatile life at about 5 gold each. So I've been transmuting and using my husband's transmutes as well. into cheap volatile fires. So, yes, the bloodied leather set is going well for me.
Does that
me.
Take dragon scales at all, or is it only leather?
No. I got... Basically, we have two maxed out leather workers in guild.
Mm-hmm.
So we split the recipes. She had the male, which uses the black and dragon scale.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a hunter, so you know it made sense for her mm-hmm. to have the male. And I have the rogue and the druid, so I went for the leather. And I actually think I got the better deal out of that.
Yeah, I split them up between my two leather workers as well. So I think I did leather. No, I did some male, but I did mostly, I think one has the int leather and the other one has the agi leather. So
I managed to do a little bit of epic flipping this week. Not one of my usual markets. I picked up two of the quick finger ring. Is it the 353 from ZAZG?
Is that the agility and expertise?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's definitely agility. So I put one on my rogue. I picked them both up for about 850 each. And I flipped one for 1,500. And the other one went on my rogue. So one paid for the two, basically.
Nice,
so
nice.
Quite nice. What else has happened this week? Let's have a little look down my list. Inferno inks. I've been selling my Inferno inks. The relic market for me is virtually dead on this server. And I've never really got into the Dark Moon cards. So I just sell my Inferno inks at extortionate prices to the people who are. they're currently selling for, well, on this last week, 65, but last week they were selling for 75.80 each. And I'm picking up stacks of Whiptail for 40 gold.
Wow, that's good.
So I'm kind of doubling my money on the Inferno inks alone without the glyphs coming from the Blackfellows. So
mm-hmm.
Raking it in on the inscription, I have to say. And then some of the lower level stuff I've been doing. Joaquin mentioned the Arcanite rods. I made 10 of those a couple of weeks ago, and I've still got 7 left, so they're obviously not selling. So I'm just selling the Arcanite bar at the moment, and they're selling 15 gold each, so that's quite nice. And some deep stone oil, that's been selling 25, 30 gold.
Really? For one?
Yeah.
People like to show off.
Yeah, well, what I'm doing, I don't know whether I'm being clever or just being lucky. Coles did a post about selling them in eights mm-hmm. for the Vial of the Sands recipe. So what I'm doing, I'm selling them as singles. So when somebody lists 5 or 6, I put a few singles up so they can make up 8.
Ah, okay.
Because nobody's listing in eights.
Oh,
so
my
if
gosh.
If they're listing in odd numbers, I put singles up so they can fill in.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that's
sounds
just
good
a fluke or if it's working, but I'm selling them. So
well, I buy them whenever I want to be goofy and show off in the city with the mount. Like you get like the huge growth mount, and then you like make your dragon like flap its wings, and then you just freeze yourself in the middle.
Yeah, I don't have any major mounts yet on my alts that are in Stormwind. My mount girly is usually out and about doing stuff, so I just can't be bothered to bring her back to Stormwind. And then the other thing I've been doing this week, lots of dribs and drabs, is cooking. As my main is out and about running around Cataclysm doing various dailies, she's picking up all sorts of cooking mats, dragon flank and... where are we here? Down my list. The basilisk livers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just get 2 or 3, cook them up, put them up as singles.
I like how liver is in quotation marks in that particular item.
Yeah, it's like...
It's like the brain.
How good is your anatomy? Anatomy, you know.
So we were talking a little bit, Nev, last night about people selling the foods for these... achievements. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I wasn't really aware of this, and I thought it was a really neat opportunity for people.
Yeah, one of the things I've been doing is, as I was just saying, I cook up the odds and ends of meat and fish that I pick up while I'm out and about. two reasons. One, it's selling quite nicely anyway. But if you put them in singles, people are buying them at the moment for the new cataclysmically delicious achievement. And the other thing that I've noticed is things like the Highland sheep cheese or the roasted beef that you get from the Twilight Highlands. Yeah, there are the two innkeepers at the in the Twilight Highlands near where the portal lands you.
On the Alliance side.
On the Alliance side, yes. Sorry, I know nothing about Horde side at that level. And they sell the different vendor goods. So you've got things like the sour green apples and the tropical sunfruit and the stewed rabbit, smoked string cheese, Highland sheep cheese. And you buy them in fives for silly low money, and then you come back to Stormwind and put them on the auction house as singles for 5 to 10 gold each, because people don't want to go over to the Twilight Highlands, or they don't know where to get them, or they're not high enough level, but they can, you know, still be eating these individual foods. And the drinks one is much easier. I think there's about 10 drinks, and I think there's probably 35 foods.
Yeah, there was the difference in this. I was assuming this would have been similar to the old achievement, which was just eat 25 of everything that tastes like chicken one, but this has actually got specific items you need to eat in order to get the achievement.
And a lot of them are things like, believe it or not, the old scalding Murgul snout. I mean, that's not even a buff food. It's probably one of the recipes that cooks haven't bothered with.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't wasted their cooking tokens on, because it's not a buff food. So if you spend your 3 cooking tokens on it, you might be the only one on the server selling that stuff. And the Murgle snouts are, what, 30 silvers? And you can sell them cooked for 5, 6, 8, 10 gold. I mean, you make your own market.
Hmm.
Unless somebody else has beaten you to it, of course.
Mm-hmm. So do you got anything else for us about what you've been doing this week?
No.
Not really, no. Okay. My usual low-level leatherworking, they're selling in ones and twos. Things like barbaric braces and the toughened leather gloves for the twink markets. Just odds and ends at the lower levels, really. Good profits, but low totals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those make one big one, so, or a medium one. So.
That's it. It's slow, but steady.
Yeah.
So that's what we have been doing this week in gold making, and I hope you found lots of interesting tidbits there. We're going to take a break here, and afterwards we're going to have an interview with Nev from Auction House Addict. So we'll be back in just a second.
I'm sure you've heard the phrase, time is money, friend. Well, it is, but I'll tell you what else is money. Ideas. Ideas are money. And if you need to get some new ideas, check out some Kaja Cola. You'll be making crazy ideas and crazy profit. Get some Kaja Cola. Now on your auction house. If the goblin was lucky enough to remember to pick some up as a newbie, which he probably wasn't, Kaja Cola. Overpriced, but worth it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Power Rig Gold podcast. I'm your host, Flux, along with co-host Joe Keen.
Hello.
And our special... What'd you say?
Yo, dog.
And our special guest, Nev.
Hiya.
And we're going to be getting into an interview with Nev now. She is the writer and creator of one of the blogs that actually influenced me early on. We were talking last night and actually come to find out that one of her blog posts was actually the inspiration for one of my second blog post ever about Murgle Snout. Yeah, which we already talked about. And so, Nev, welcome.
Thank you. And nice to be here.
Nev, why don't you start off by telling us, first off, how people can get a hold of you and read your blog.
Well, my blog, you can find me at ahaddict.blogspot.com. And I'm on Twitter, so you can follow me at NevAHAddict. Quite easy. And there's a Gmail account on my blog as well, if you want to mail me rather than leave a public comment.
Why don't you tell us a little bit of, first off, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into playing World of Warcraft, and then afterwards we'll talk a little bit about how you actually got into gold blogging. So how did you get into playing World of Warcraft?
My husband found it first. He was sitting in his corner of the study playing, chuckling, typing, snorting with laughter in the corner, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to play this game. I do not need another addiction. And I think I survived about 2 months, and then it was just like, no, no good. I've got to give it a go. And I got sucked in.
How long ago was that? What patch, I guess, is what we usually... what patch was that? Oh. Or what raid content was...
I have no idea, to be honest. It was October 09, 2009, so it was about 18 months.
So maybe trial the champion.
Yeah, it was well into Wrath, but long before Kata, so sort of halfway between the two, really. I think I hit 80 on my first toon in February last year, and I think the three ICC dungeons had just come out as I dinged. But I was totally unaware of top level stuff for most of that first 4 or 5 months. We had no idea, because obviously husband and I, we had refer a friend, and we leveled his warrior and my pally together to start off with. But I had a lot more time, so I became an altaholic very early on.
What got you going with gold blogging? Because like I said, you were around before my time, and kind of how did you get into going from playing the game to actually wanting to write about making gold?
Well, I don't know really. I mean, by the time I was level 60, I remember quite clearly lending somebody 2,000 gold. And that was my first alt. And I wasn't doing it seriously. It's just that the auction house is there. It's like eBay. You just use it. You know, I've always had the eye on the money sort of thing. So I had professions on all my alts, and, you know, I'd dabble here, dabble there, all the way up as I was leveling them. As I say, that was Christmas 2009, probably around that time. And then...
Did you ever get the 2,000 gold back?
Yes, I did. Yes, even though everybody in my guild was saying, no, you don't know him.
It's hard. But, it's hard sometimes, because those loans can go bad.
Yeah, well, he was a guildie, and I'd actually been... he was new to the guild, but I'd actually been talking to him quite a bit. We'd sort of hit it off. You know, I said to him, look, you are going to pay me back. There's no rush. You can pay me 50 gold a week if you want, just as long as you pay me back.
Otherwise, we're going to break your kneecap.
I said, you know, otherwise everybody else in the guild is going to be proved right. And he said, no, you'll have it next week. And he did. I think within 10 days, I had it all back. He wanted to dual spec, I think it was, as a tank for the guild. And I just felt, well, you know, he's doing it for the guild. The least I can do is help him out.
Yeah, that was back when it was 4,000 or...
I don't know. I can't remember how much it was now. But I seem to remember I lent him
5,000. I think it was 5,000 to dual spec at first.
So that was that.
And it was 1,000? Okay.
And then by sort of September time, things had gone a little bit belly up for me in Guild, and I was sort of playing solo a lot, so I spent a lot more time. And I hit about 25 grand October time, and I was beginning to read blogs. I found Just My Two Copper and Cold and the forums and everything. And I decided that I wanted to hit 50k before Kata came out. And there was a blog by a guy called Radom, R-A-D-D-O-M, and he started a little alt, you know, making money from scratch type of thing. I thought, oh, that'd be fun. So I sort of started chatting to him and decided to do the same thing myself and started blogging about it. And unfortunately, I think he sort of gave up around day 10, and I kept going. And here we are 4 or 5 months later, and I'm still going. So that's sort of what got me started, but that doesn't make for the most interesting reading early on. So I had to really scratch my head and think, right, now I can't do this forever. What else am I going to do? So that's sort of how it's developed, really.
I was talking to Alto yesterday, and he was saying that there's a kind of a general axiom among blogging that if you can last 3 months, then you'll pretty much make it. So,
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah. So, let's see here. What are some of your favorite areas that you've been able to make gold in, specifically? Like, what areas do you like kind of, not necessarily corner the market in, but do you find that you kind of gravitate towards?
Definitely glyphs. Especially now with Trade Skill Master, TSM. I mean, that has just transformed the way I work with glyphs. I just had an understanding of the glyph market early on. I've dabbled in gems and I've dabbled in leatherworking and even just farming, originally farming, you know, mining and herbing and going out, finding things like the essence of air down in Silithus. Last year I was farming the mats that I could never find for myself, so I'd go farming, use five or six myself and sell the others on the auction house. I just like finding little corners that other people aren't really paying much attention to.
But would you consider yourself one of the biggest glyph sellers on your server? Or the biggest?
Not the biggest, no. I think I would say there's five or six names that are on 90% of the glyphs on our auction house. And I'm probably number four or five. Mm-hmm. I do pretty much every glyph that sells for more than 100 gold. I have at least one of them up most of the time. I'm very much a just-in-time glyffer. I don't have, you know, banks full of glyphs ready-made. Mm-hmm. So I'm always going with the current market price, and TSM has just transformed how I do the glyphs. You know, I use the TSM crafting queue. I queue manually, I must admit. Mm-hmm. And I pick and choose which ones, you know, that I've sold overnight, make some more, bung them up, walk away, go and do something else. And then tea time, I cancel, relist, have a look, see what's sold, remake those, off I go and do something else. So, yeah, glyphs is responsible for, I would say, 90% of my income. Although at the moment, as I said earlier, I'm definitely working more on the jewel crafting market now, the gems, cut gems.
Mm-hmm. What kind of techniques do you use to kind of maintain a viability in the glyph market? Because I'm pretty much your twin when it comes to how I do glyphs. I do them exactly the same way. We talked a little bit earlier. You talked about Ink of the Sea and Ethereal Inks, and those are the ones I tend to craft as well. I think mostly because they're the ones that are hidden behind Book of Glyph Mastery and a few other things, and they're higher up in the chain so that people that are just leveling. But what are some kind of tactics or tricks that you've used to kind of make sure that your glyphs are the ones that are selling with the four or five different competitors?
I think it's just a matter of cancelling and reposting, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I do that maybe three times a day, sometimes four, depends how the time goes. But I'm usually online in the morning, sort of 9:30-ish, so I cancel and relist the overnight ones there. Maybe lunchtime, sort of between 12 and 1, I'll have a look, and if there's only 10 or 20, just cancel, you know, TSM only cancels the ones that have actually been undercut. Mm-hmm. So lunchtime, perhaps I can just pull another 10 or 20 undercut ones and repost those. Mm-hmm. And then maybe 4:30, 5 o'clock-ish, I might do it again, and this time it might be 30 or 40. Mm-hmm. The biggest cancel and repost is usually the 11 o'clock at night one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Obviously, my competitors are more evening players.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky in some respects in that I tend to have the glyph market pretty much to myself during the day. I can undercut pretty much anyone. And then I think I'm actually one of the later players at night as well, because quite often, even first thing in the morning, I won't be undercut that much on that many. So obviously I'm posting after them last thing at night as well. Mm-hmm. It's only if I cancel and repost at 10:30, then basically I get mullered. They're all over me, sort of thing. But if I cancel and repost at 11, 11:15, then in the morning I might only have 10 or 20 to cancel and relist. So I think I tend to outlast them.
I actually had an experience last night where I logged on to my inscriptionist, and I have all of my quote-unquote friends are all just essentially all my competition. And one of my competitors logged, and I was just about to cancel and repost, and one of my competitors logged on, and I just, like, froze like a deer in headlights. I'm like, And so I was, like, waiting, and I think I waited. I was doing something else at the time. I don't know. Maybe I was reading blogs or something. And then I hear this little sound, and it says, so-and-so has gone offline, and I'm like, yeah. And I canceled and reposted them all then because, you know, I didn't want to – it was a waste of time to cancel and repost when he – if he was still on. And actually, if you watch your friends list and you see your competition – one of your competitors go offline and another one come online, it's the same person with two different accounts. So,
The funny thing for me is that in my guild, as was, I think I mentioned earlier, things went a little bit belly up for me. But in the early days of the guild, when everything was hunky-dory, one of my closest friends was the guild scribe. And I know for a fact that he already had every glyph and everything else. Mm-hmm. So I've got most of his alts. I think I've got 7 of his alts on this server in my friends list. Mm-hmm. But there's 3 I don't know. But one of my main competitors is in the same guild. So I watch my friends list to see if one of those 7 goes off and this main competitor comes on.
Yeah.
Because I might actually be fighting a friend.
Yeah. I did a post about this, I think, at some point, but I use another broker add-on, and we talked about broker add-ons last night called – well, actually, this isn't a broker add-on, but it's SL Data Text. And when you mouse over this little friends text, it'll show you who is on your friends list, what area they're in. So for some of my competitors that are level 85, they'll be in Mount Hyjal, or they'll be in like a raid, and then I don't have to bother them worry about them undercutting me, at least at the time. What do you have your trade skill master settings set for as far as the lowest price and your fallback price?
I preset my ink prices, so my threshold price is 3 times my set ink price, plus a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Midnight Ink and Lion's Ink, I think I have those preset at 4 or 5 gold per ink. So my threshold then would be 15 to 18 gold. But basically, I never post at that level.
Yeah.
I don't craft a glyph unless it's selling for 100 gold.
What's your fallback price? What do you reset the market to when it drops?
On the higher level inks, the Ink of the Sea and the Ethereal inks, I think I'm up at about 240, 238 and some silvers and coppers and stuff. Mm-hmm. The lower level inks is 100 and... I think it's like 163, 72 silvers, and you know, I just don't like numbers.
You don't want even numbers, you said?
Yeah, I don't like.
I do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I'll do like 197 and something silver, something copper, just so it looks like it's been undercut, not that it's fresh.
Yeah, exactly. But I very, very rarely post at my threshold. My fallback. Mm-hmm. There is such coverage on the market.
Okay.
Very rare for there not to be a glyph up.
What do they hover? You said you sell around ones that are around 100 gold. Is that generally what?
100 gold is my minimum.
100 gold profit.
No, 100 gold sale price.
Oh, okay.
So that's at least 70 gold profit.
Yeah.
But for example, I just pull up my my sales at the moment. So, for example, Glyph of Dark Succor, or Succor, or however you say it.
Succor.
I've sold 5 in the last week, 213 gold. Glyph of Bladestorm, 4 at 250 gold. We seem to have a lot of DKs at the moment, so Hungering Cold and Howling Blast have both been going for 230. And, you know, I can come down my glyph, my sales list, and even down on the third page, Glyph of Killing Spree, 229 gold. And then Fan of Knives, 151. That's one of the cheaper ones. You know, so
yeah,
I'm very lucky. We've got a very, very strong, high-priced glyph market.
Yeah.
I have quite a few comments on the posts where I talk about my glyph prices. I do get a lot of comments like, "I wish I was on your server."
Yeah, and it really takes the right competitor. It really takes the right competitors to kind of. I think of it like a garden, right? You tend it and you maintain it, and even if you're not the one doing it, I think that's why higher fallback prices are really nice, because it helps rejuvenate the prices up, and as long as the competitors are being reasonable, the glyph market's all about how often you can cancel and repost.
That's the biggest thing for me, and also finding out when your competition are playing.
And for Americans, it's a lot easier than it is for Europeans, because we can use Undermine Journal to track exactly when they've posted. And I found that to be true for like one of my main competitors. I found out that they stop posting at 11 a.m. and then they have like a break. And I'm guessing that's when they go to work, like an 8-hour break. And then they start posting again at a certain time. So if I post like after that time, or my glyph competitor, she tends to stop around like 3 a.m. So if I'm able to stay up a little bit later, I can catch them after that. So you're doing that same thing, but just by braille, right? By just knowing when your glyphs are being undercut or not.
Gut instinct and just being aware, really. Just absorbing the information as it's coming up on your screen.
Engaging your brain, as I like to say.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's the last question I have. Thank you so much for that interview.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
And we're going to keep you on for the rest of the show while we chit-chat. All right, well, we're going to wrap up the interview. We're going to take a little break here, and we will get back to you guys in just a second.
Hi, I'm Joe Keane. I may not always be called Cap, but when I am, it's because of the Power Word Gold Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Power Word Gold Podcast. I'm your host, Flux, along with my co-host, Joe Keane.
Hello.
And our guest, Nev.
Hello.
All right, so in this segment, we're going to be discussing some of the latest news and strategies that we're doing to adjust to this news. We're going to be talking specifically about patch 4.2 with these new crafting recipes for leatherworking, tailoring, jewel crafting, even some engineering, what we're going to be doing to prepare for that. And then we're going to be talking a little bit about some news that actually just popped up yesterday. And I think actually I'll start with that. So Joaquin and I and Nev were chatting yesterday on Skype, and Joaquin's like, "Sorry, hold on, guys. Sorry, I just need to interrupt." So apparently somebody on Skype Twitter broke. I think MMO Champion broke it as usual, that the gems were stacking. Cut gems are now going to stack to, I don't know, 20, I'm assuming, but they're going to stack. That's the key thing. Jewel crafting gems are going to stack cut ones, which is like hallelujah for everybody, but sad day as well for some professions. So one of the things that was coming in this patch was going to be new profession bags, for jewel crafting, which sorely needed it, because the biggest bag you could get for jewel crafting was from Burning Crusade. I think it was a 24 slot or something, 26 slot bag of jewels. Yeah. It was very small. And as a, you know, jewel crafters tend to, if you have a lot of cuts, even if you only have a few cuts of each color or whatever, you can't, you know, your bags tend to get full. So people were really looking forward to using those new patterns, and they were made out of dream cloth. So people thought that dream cloth was going to be a good bet as far as stocking up. But with these new changes to the gem stacking, it could be that that actually isn't true at all. What do you guys feel about, what do you think about this change to gem stacking and how it's going to affect the way you do your business? Or will it?
It's gonna save me a lot of space, and I'm able to keep all the gems in my bags all the time and not store some of them into my guild bank.
So do you actually cut a decent amount of these ahead of time? Or will you now, I guess?
Yeah, I do. I always, if I have around, if I have like 100 Inferno Rubies, I, from 40 of them, I cut intellect once and 40 to agility once, and now I have 20 left. And yeah, and I just leave them because sometimes the uncut Inferno Ruby prices go so high that they're at the same point that the cut ones. So I just leave them so I'm able to sell them if the price go high enough, but this is going to save me a lot of space.
Do you think that it'll affect... Oh, sorry, Never, are you going to say something?
No, I have the same attitude towards gems as I do with glyphs. Very much keep them raw, go to the auction house, scan, see what needs refilling, and cut them there and then post them. But I'm not hugely into the cut gem market.
Is it the bag space that's the issue for you, or is it mostly just not wanting to cut the thing that's going to be going down in price?
Probably both. To be honest,
I'm the same.
Cut gems are so volatile. I mean, today, which one is it? The stamina, the blue stamina gem,
solid.
22. Yeah, 22 gold today. Yesterday it was 48 gold. So I don't see the point in having 20 or 30 carts for myself to list. And also, you know, if I'm cancelling and relisting 4 or 5 times a day, that's an awful lot of deposit fees as well.
That's true.
I'd rather be selling, listing 2 in the morning and listing another 2 at lunchtime and maybe another 2 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I spend a lot of time faffing.
What's that mean?
Fiddling around with bits and pieces here and there, and you know, alt jumping, and you know, I might be working on some mid-level leatherworking stuff and realize that I need something from my jewel crafter, so I'll pop over. Oh, while I'm here. Mm-hmm. I have a look at the auction house. Oh, look, I've sold some of those, put some more up.
Yeah.
But I cut them as just literally as I post them.
Okay.
But with the big bags, yes, maybe I'll change the way I work. I don't know.
Well, I know for me, the way I've done uncommons was kind of a post a few and then wait and post a few more and wait and post a few more. And then never canceling any of them, but just kind of layering the market with me and my other competition. And then when we would all go to sleep, they would tend to be bought out as it would go down through the layer cake, essentially, of different people. Like mine would end up selling without having to cancel them and repost them. And I think with this change, I think this will mostly, for me, affect the way I work with Demon's Eyes and Ember Topaz, not as much with Cardinal Rubies, although since they're such consistent sellers, I might end up making like 20 stack of each at a time, just so that I can do that layer cake strategy where me and my competition kind of layer each other as we go throughout the day. But especially Ember Topaz and Demon's Eyes, I think I might do some of the more popular cuts, a few of them, and It's going to be, because of I'm such a bag space, what do you call it? I'm always so anxious about running out of bag space. I tend to do a lot less cuts, and I think this will help without having to have an increase. How do you guys think this will actually affect the market? Do you think it will affect it at all? Have people having the ability to store these cut gems a lot easier?
I'm not sure. I don't really think so.
No, it'd just be more of a convenience thing for jewel crafters in general.
I think the people who are into the jewel crafting market already have their systems, and this is going to be a big bonus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Obviously, they suddenly have huge amounts more space.
I can see the screenshots now on people's blogs. Like, just instead of just all raws, it'll just be all cuts. a whole bank tab full of cuts.
But I think for people like myself who aren't heavily into the cut market, I'm not sure it'll be such a huge thing for us. The only one I possibly would cut in advance is the Inferno Rubies,
mm-hmm.
purely because they do sell so fast.
Yeah,
that's why those are the only gems I actually post more than few at the time.
Yeah. The only other ones that I post in bulk is the jewel crafting daily ones. So the Zephyrite, the Nightstone, and the Jaspers on the day.
What amber jewel do you guys tend to sell? Because I've actually been selling some, I believe is it the Mastery one?
I think the Mastery one is the best because I think no one actually uses haste.
Mm-hmm.
Or
it's an intellect and haste all the time if they're going to do it.
Yeah.
But I know tanks tend to stack mastery. I think, I think Fade had talked about the fact that she sold a lot of mastery where I think mainly for tanks because they don't, at least warriors and death knights are better off stacking mastery than a lot of the other stats that they have because it gives them such good, even maybe paladins. I know warriors for sure, it gives them better avoidance and block and shield something or other, and with death knights it increases their blood shield that they get from death strike. So
yeah, the amber jewel I've been doing is the smooth amber jewel, which is the 40 crit.
Okay.
How
much over mat cost has that been selling for, or what percentage?
Oh,
over?
they're up at 70 to 85.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah, PvPers. I don't know what Joaquin. What stats do people in PvP tend to do in their gems?
Resilience is a good one, but usually the market is just fluted at the moment. Did they already change it that the resilience starts to diminish after 32.5%?
Yeah, I've heard 3K or something is what most people in PvP don't even bother going over. Something along 30.
Yeah, It used to be that go resilience, just go all out in resilience mostly. But now when they did the change, 3.1 is the point you don't want to gem or anything, any more resilience. So.
Okay. And then what do they stack after? It's stamina or do they just do the...
Well, yeah, the main stat.
Okay.
Or the...
Oh, the main
for
stat.
For the caster's haste.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's usually just intellect and haste, never really pure.
Yeah, I know there's a few specs that really use crit. I know definitely fire mages tend to stack a lot of crit just because it really meshes well with all their procs that they get off of their stats, or procs they get off their spells when they crit, that they need that crit. All right, so moving on to the patch 4.2 stockpile. Joaquin, I'm going to kind of let you lead off on this one because we had talked a little earlier and you have kind of a game plan set out for what you're thinking about stockpiling for 4.2. Can you talk about that and why you're thinking about doing each one?
Oh, yeah. I've been stocking some elementum ore for smelting... hardened elementium after the patch, also some volatiles like fire, water, and earth and life. Seems like if well it not just seems like but once something new comes out and you need volatiles for them, the price are gonna go up. So I have like 600 earths now and 1,000 lives and 500 waters at the moment and 200 elementium ores.
So you're picking them up while there's not really much going on right now.
Yeah.
And the prices are dropped.
Yep. Also, if you want to do your daily transmute to make true gold, do it, because you need those to the newest weapons. Also, get around 2,000 honor, because if the newest recipes are bought with honor, you'll want to get them straight away, not to go farm once the batch hits.
Because you'll lose out on the chance while the people are far, while everyone's selling your, because a lot of these recipes are PvP recipes, right? Rings and
yes,
and there's weapons and everything. That's gonna be pretty big. If I think what's the there's item levels, new item levels for these weapons is 350 something. I don't know for sure, but it's high. It's pretty high.
358, I think.
Okay, 358. So just under epic, raid epics.
Yeah. Also, ember silk cloth, because you need those to make the cloth PvP items. And leather, if you're a leather worker, I don't know which leather they use. I think heavy savage leather.
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
Yeah, leather's been pretty flooded on my server, so I might be able to pick some up. And of course, I can farm it up too. But because one of the things I'm really looking towards stockpiling is black and dragon scales, because it seems like there's a real big shortage on my server now. Which means that if I'm able to stock up early, because it's a mat that has to be farmed physically, that if I can stock up early, there'll be a huge shortage on black and dragon scales. And if there is, then I'll be able to gouge people pretty heavily on black and dragon scales while everybody else is catching up, going out and trying to farm. So I think that's going to be, I will still sell them for a decent price here if I don't have any competition, but I'll still also stockpile up. So if there is cheap ones, they drop down to 5 or something, I'll pick some of those up. But
yeah. Well, normally the making the hardened elementium is sometimes profit, because there's rarely any sellers. But in next patch, I think the price will go up a lot. So be ready to sell on the first few days. Don't make too many of the PvP armors. Try also sell just the hardened elementium bars and normal elementium bars if the price is high enough.
And you're going to want to... You were talking about how you were going to, as much as possible, save the mats ahead of time in the raw form rather than making a whole stockpile.
Yeah. Yes. Don't make them into bars before the patch, because if you have the ore and the price will not go up, which I don't think, but still, you get backup that you can just prospect them if the prices won't go high enough.
Yeah. Have you been paying attention to these notes, Nev? Do you have any things that you're thinking about holding on to ahead of time for the next patch? Or plans or strategies?
Well, I don't tend to stockpile much on any large scale. Yeah. But Black and Dragon scale I've been picking up as and when I'm out and about, and I don't sell them. I've got a hunter coming up, so I'm sort of, I know it sounds silly, but I'm sort of saving them for her gear when she gets there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to work out quite well. Pretty much I forget about them, to be honest. For me, probably the volatile life. Picking it up now for sometimes, some days I can pick up a stack of 200 at 5 golds per life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've only got the one alchemist, so if I'm picking up maybe 4 or 5 stacks of life ready at that price, I can't resist it, because mm-hmm. I know that I'm going to make money on it when I transmute it.
Yeah.
And then obviously I can transmute to whichever I want. I do need to get a second alchemist up there. Definitely need to get a second alchemist.
Here I am talking about my fifth one, and you're like, I need a second one.
Yeah, but for me, I think I'll probably concentrate on the life and just make sure I do my transmutes every day. And I'll transmute to fire and air and water. I use a lot of air. I don't do a huge amount of enchanting at the moment. But the ones I do use a lot of volatile air. I do the Heart Song, the Avalanche and Hurricane weapon enchants. And I think two out of the three of those use volatile air off the top of my head. Yeah.
Air is just it's just such a good volatile because there's only three general ways to get it. Killing a mob that drops it, getting it out of bloated stomachs, and transmuting it. That's really the main ways that you can get those three. So
I tend to transmute on a sort of a cycle, and just try and keep my stocks up on whichever ones. At the moment, I've been doing quite a bit, as I said earlier, I've been doing quite a bit of the leather PvP stuff, which uses the pieces I've been making are the ones, I think it's the chest uses life, and I think it's the boots uses fire. But don't quote me on that. I've been using a lot of fire and life at the moment. Mm-hmm. So my transmute is going towards restocking on fire all the time. Mm-hmm. And then when I get the enchants going, then my transmute goes towards the air.
Yeah.
Because fires are down at 10 to 12 gold, so it's not too bad to have to buy some fire.
Yeah. I think I might actually... The problem is that transmuting air is so easy. Like, you don't have to bother with anything else. Just go and do it. Whereas I know I would probably do better transmuting like true gold, say, for example. If depending on the, not necessarily looking at the current prices, but if I have four guys doing it every day and I did it consistently, then I could probably stock up a good amount. And it's one of those things that's stuck behind a 24-hour cooldown, so there's not a way for people to ramp up. I mean, all alchemists could make that at the point of the patch, and but I tend to do packs where, like, I'll have all the materials for big stack of each of the volatiles and the pyrum bars, and I'll have it on one person and I'll transmute, and then I'll send it to the next person and then they'll transmute, and then I'll send that pack to the next person to transmute. Like, I'll just send it around to the different people to do it. Otherwise, you just have to remember with Altaholic, like, who doesn't have the right amount of volatiles, and who needs them, or so that's where I think a lot of my pyrite that I have now is probably going to go towards making those pyrum bars for the true gold, because it seems like it's been fairly consistent. It's only dropped from about 700 gold to still only around 500 gold now, so it's still holding its value relatively good, and with the procs that come out of that, I might actually look at doing that. It's just a matter of, it's kind of like the same way with Dreamcloth. Like, there's just a lot of logistics involved in Dreamcloth, because you have... Granted, it's only once a week, you have to really pay attention, but you got to get 30 of each volatiles and all those cloths and remember to do them. And I still haven't found a valuable use of dream cloth, but maybe in this next patch it'll actually get vengeance.
Yeah, people who like me who raid, I'm ashamed of raiding because it's for bats. No. Well, if you like raiding, it's okay. I don't really care about it, but it's
a good distraction for you while you don't do as much PvP.
Yeah. Probably I'm able to get these newest recipes which drop from the Fireland raid, and the cloth recipes cost a dream cloth, and if they're not gonna remove the cooldown from the dream cloth, I'm able to make huge amounts of gold if I get even one recipe, which is probably gonna happen because there's not many tailors in our guild, and the fact that Dreamcloth is BOP makes it kinda well, you need to get the recipe and you need to have BOP items which have 7-day cooldown, and you can make 5 per week if you don't have any Chaos Orbs.
So making the Dream Cloth is really only beneficial to the raiders if the patterns drop out of raids.
Yeah, or I think they will. And also for the people who do pugs, because they said Blizzard said that those recipes, or well, not recipes, but they said they will add a lot of BOE to drop from the trash, and there's a lot of trash in Firelands, so there probably will be once again pugs raiding trash. Like now, yeah. They're farming BOE items in Bastion of Twilight or the other instance. I don't even remember. I'm a raider. I have done 4 heroic modes, and I don't remember the name of the other raid.
Obviously, you care about it a ton.
Yeah, like 3 days ago, we were in Skype with Flux, and I was doing heroic Atramidus with my Ventrilo muted and talking with Flux. So
I'm like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I'm doing hard mode." What I would hope that they would do, actually, personally, if it was up to me, I would hope that they would put these recipes as recipes you can purchase through the new
Flux. Your voice is kind of robotic.
Can you hear me? Is it better at all?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Sorry, say that again.
It's fine for me.
Okay.
For me, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
The next thing I would like to do is to talk about, is that robotic enough for you?
Yeah.
Tomo arigato, Mr. Roboto, tomo. Okay, so, what I would really like to see them do is something similar to the Twilight Highlands quest chain, but with the new Fireland dailies, because I'm gonna probably get pretty hooked on these new dailies. I really loved Isle of Quel'Danas when those were going on in Burning Crusade. And for those of you who didn't play back then, essentially at the end of the Burning Crusade, they introduced this last patch, which had the last raid content in the game, which was, what was it? What's the last raid? Oh my gosh.
Sunwell
Plateau, yes, correct. So that included a 5-man and a heroic, and it included, which many of us still do to this day, on a daily basis, to get the mount and to get the orb of Sindori and to get the pet. But what happened is that you'd go there and you'd do these daily quests, and you would, over time, as you would go talk to the NPCs and say, "How is our progress on such and such a thing?" And they would let you know. And there was a little globe, if you've seen it, in the middle of Shattrath. There's a little globe, and underneath it has a little model of the Isle of Quel'Danas.
All right.
And basically, as time went on and your server progressed, it unlocked different buildings. So, like, the first time you went there, you were battling back all of these creatures, and that was it. And then a little while later, there would be some more NPCs as more of these phases kind of got unlocked. Not phasing as it is now, but then the phases. And then eventually you'd unlock everything, and your server would unlock the vendor, and you'd get to buy your awesome Badge of Justice items.
And cool.
They're doing a similar thing in the Fireland dailies, except it's personal. Like, yeah, they're using phasing to basically change the visual look of not a ton of things, but there's a tree that you plant, and as you go do your daily quests, you slowly unlock this regrowing of the area, and this tree gets bigger, and, you know, and I hope that they put some of these new recipes, or at least some new recipes, on the vendors that are available after you've done this, kind of a little bit like the dailies that you did in Trial of the Champion, or Trial, you know, the
Argent Tournament,
but a little bit more in depth. And actually, the one thing I like that they're doing is, if you remember doing any of the quests in Ice Crown, like, sometimes you would your friend would ask you to help him on the quest, but you couldn't help him because they were phased. You had already done the quest, and they were still on a different part of the quest, and you couldn't see them, and they couldn't see you, and you couldn't see the mobs that you needed to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to change that, where essentially the visual look is different, but so I might be seeing a small tree and you might be seeing a big tree, but we can still quest together even if we're on slightly different parts of the progression. So I hope that they put a lot of these recipes unlocked after it, similar to how you just do the quest chain in Stormwind and you unlock Twilight Highlands, and that unlocks vendors that would give you more things. I hope some of the vendors are locked behind this quest chain, because then people that don't raid and are still able to get some of these patterns. So maybe a kind of a combination. Some you can get from one and some you can get from the other.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So I'm glad that they're really catering to the solo players, because I'm more of the solo type player as well.
Personally, I hate if I have to do the daily quest, because back in TBC, when I started, I got my epic mount by doing 2 months, just all the dailies every day, and I got sick of them, and I just hate dailies now.
Well, you used to be able to make good gold back then. There was 15 dailies, and you would end up getting 250 gold by the end of them if you did Isle of Golden Oss, and
there was 5 dailies in Outlands too, if I'm correct.
There was Ogorilla, there was Shatari Skyguard dailies you could do there.
Netherwing
dailies, yeah, correct. So
yeah, I did the ones which you picked up in Shatrat. I think it was 4 or 5.
Were they the dungeon dailies or?
No, the dailies are for going in Nagrand to pick something up. I don't remember what. And I think that I just don't remember. It's so much time.
Yeah, I got my. That's a funny story. I got my epic by mining for a week straight in Netherstorm on a 60 speed flying mount, mining, and I got 5,000. Nev, how did you get your first epic mount? How did you get the money for it? I guess your first 5,000 for that.
Well,
or did you already have it by the time you decided to?
Yeah, I kind of did actually. I'm an accountant by trade. Money is my thing. Slightly on a personal note, away from the game, I went to university when I was 28. I'd been working for a while and I wanted to get away from accounts, and the only degree course that I fancied was business administration with a specialism in accounts. It's just the only thing that appealed. So I guess I'm just a numbers maths type person. So the auction house has pretty much been a huge part of the game for me since the beginning. And as I mentioned earlier, when we did the interview section, I already had about 6,000 by the time I was in Hellfire.
Wow. That's good.
So by the time I hit 80, I'm actually one of those jammy people. The random number generator does like me. I got the Proto Drake. Is it the green one from the Oracles?
Uh-huh.
On my first egg. I got the blue, is it the blue Protodrake from Utgard Pinnacle?
Yeah.
I got that one on my third or fourth run through there, and I got the blue Oculus one as well. And I've got people in Guild who've been 80 for 6 months, and they're all going, what? Yeah. So, yeah, I sort of didn't really have to work that hard to get my fast flying. I'd already done so much of the work. But I didn't even know that I had to start saving for it. I'm so naive. I just liked having enough money for everything I wanted to do. And then when I went to the vendor for my fast flying, or my cold weather flying at first, that was 1,000. I was like, oh, okay, doink.
finished.
It just wasn't a big thing for me, you know. There we go.
Well, I wish I'd had your savvy back in the day. It was in Burning Crusade. It was pretty brutal to save up 5,000 gold.
Yeah. Well, I have the secret shame. I don't have the newest flying on any of my characters.
30% slower. Banished. Yeah. You're no longer on the podcast. You don't have gold cap. 10. Not even on your. You told me that you got your first vial of the sands by doing herbs, and you didn't have 310 speed.
Yes. I.
Go away. Go buy it right now.
Vial of the sands for 40,000 gold. I was too cheap to pay 4,000 for the faster flying.
Oh my gosh.
Well, even better, I leveled my shaman back in season 6, which was around when the Argent tournament dailies came.
Okay, so
yeah, and I leveled him without flying. Because I was too cheap to buy one.
Did you get the poverty pigeons that they have in K3?
Yeah. Also, I leveled my DK, which is 85 now. He was leveled through Battle Crown, so he didn't have Flying Man 2. Not even the first one.
Not even.
Because back then you couldn't fly until level 77. 70.
Oh, 70. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Actually, I'm gonna get on my old man curmudgeon post and say, "You darn kids! Back in my day, we used to have to walk everywhere up until level 40. We were so tired by the time we hit level 40 that we just collapsed right there in Theramore and just quit playing our characters." Yeah, that was seriously 40. Level 40. You walked through the whole world. Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine what that must
on
have been
foot, like. Until 40, well, you got to Theramore, you finally hit 40, and then you went and got your mount, and then you just quit playing your character.
Well, my first character back in TBC was Warlock, and I didn't have any WoW friends because I just started to help me with the quest to get the epic mount. So I got level 70 before I got my epic
Dreads.
Ground mount. So
we'll see. And the thing is, like, the 60 speed, the flying mount when Burning Crusade was 60 speed in the air. It was 100 speed on the ground, but 60 speed in the air. So like, you would actually get slower as you were flying through the air than if you just ran along the ground. It was pretty awesome. So I like all the improvements that they've made. But back in my day, we used to run uphill both ways to school in the snow with no shoes, and we ate dirt. So, but I actually didn't play a ton in vanilla, so I can't really complain. But I did get a couple of characters up to 40, so that was a great day when you could. And then you had to wait all the way till 60 before you could get your epic land mount. So, All right. Well, let's go ahead and answer this question from a reader. Let me bring that up on my screen here so we can ask it. We got one question this week, and I am disappointed. We should get more questions because we have awesome answers. So everybody that's out there listening, make sure you give us a comment with a question in it so that we can use our un-gold-capped brains to answer your questions. So, all right. This is a question from Varrigan the Dwarf. Hi, Flux and Joaquin. Thanks for the tip on the Icy Prism cooldown. I bought mats for about 40 of them pretty cheap, except the frozen orbs, which are 10 gold. Anyway, now I have all these gems, and I'm not sure what the best thing to do with them is. I did get 3 dragon's eyes. What do you think? What do you do with your gems? Did you sell the raws or cut them? And if you cut them, what did you make? I was a gatherer in Wrath, and so I didn't switch to a jewelcrafter alchemist until right before Cataclysm. Thanks, and keep up the good work. So he's essentially asking, you know, if you didn't know the cooldown, there used to be a 24-hour cooldown on this recipe you can do for jewelcrafting called Icy Prism. And it requires 3 uncommon Lich King gems, and Icy Prism, and the ones that are used are the ones that have blue in it, so it's blue, green, and purple, And you can get out of this. You open it up after you craft it, and it gives you rare gems from Lich King and possibility of epics and possibility of Dragon's Eyes, which are the jewel crafting only gems. And me and Joaquin had done quite a bit of this. And Nev, did you go ahead and do Icy Prisms with this as well? Or did you just do the jewel crafting?
No, I haven't. Okay. I only leveled my jewel crafting in January, so okay. I don't have... In fact, I have very, very few of the Wrath cuts, mm-hmm. only what I needed to get through the leveling. So I'm sort of in the same situation as Vergadin.
All right. Well, I ran into this problem when I came... When I went kind of buck wild on it and did like 30 or 40 of these Icy Prisms, and you end up with some good stuff, like some cardinal rubies, which are epics every once in a while, and the rare, what's the rare gem for red of Lich King? I can't remember.
Scarlet rubies,
yeah. And so... but you end up with a lot of these other colors and you're kind of in the same situation. And I personally tried researching what I might be able to do with them. I know a few of them are used in a few jewelry items, but the jewelry items disenchant into dream shards, which is almost worthless a lot of times. There was a scope for engineering you could make with, I think it was the purple or the blue one. But honestly, what I've been doing with them is if they're not selling if they're selling below 5 gold in the auction house, I'll just cut them and vendor them. If you don't have the cuts, I would just try to maintain them on the auction house and until they do sell, because jewel crafters that are leveling up will use them a lot of times to craft. Nev, do you want to talk a little bit about what you've been doing with some of the uncommons? Because I know it's not exactly answering his question, but I know when I needed gems to craft the Icy Prisms, I prospected a bunch of Saronite. So I ended up with uncommons that I was using to make these Icy Prisms. But what were you doing to the uncommons to get rid of them?
Well, actually, that was kind of thanks to you. I think you tweeted about the crystal citrine necklace that you can make out of the huge citrine and 2 crystallized earth. And I had a load in the bank just sitting around, and when I looked at my jewel crafting, there was also the bloodstone band, the crystal chalcedony amulet, and the sunrock ring. So that's the red, the blue, the orange, and the yellow uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And all 4 of them just take 1 stone, 1 gem, and 2 crystallized earth.
Yeah, you used to do those back in Wrath of the Lich King to get the mats, and after the infinite dust prices went so down, you used to vendor them because they went for 3.5 gold to vendor.
The actual rings themselves? Are they jewelry? Yeah. Okay.
So I've basically, from your little tweet that you gave, I've sort of converted them all into infinite dust and lesser cosmic essence. Infinite dust is at 5, 6, 7 gold at the moment. It's more expensive, twice the price of hypnotic dust on my server.
Yeah.
And it's moving. Not as fast as hypnotic dust, but it is moving. And a lot of the wrath enchants are still selling. So I'm sort of splitting the mats between my little stockpile and selling the raw mats.
If you're a jewel crafter that's not max level yet, but maybe Lich King level, and you're you're not using your daily cooldown let me flip that back around again. If you're an alchemist that's not max level, still in Lich King level, and you're not doing transmutes for the high level stuff, you can actually transmute epic gems out of some of these. You can do 1 a day, so it's not a huge money maker, but you can use the reds for that. That's another possibility. Yeah.
It's the same as we're doing with the Elementium Shuffle, but the step down, isn't it? So we've got 4, what have we got at the moment? We've got the 4 colours that we craft jewellery and disenchant.
And
these are the 4 colours.
Yeah.
And then the transmutes that we're doing with the rares plus the herbs now, then it's rares plus herbs at the wrath level. So it's just the old Saronite shuffle, yeah. Presumably.
And Saronite actually seems to have pretty cheap prices on the auction house still. Yeah. So
that cobalt is like sky high.
Joking's tip that he keeps trying to hammer into all of us is go mine cobalt.
Yeah.
I would agree. Five or six gold a piece on cobalt on my server.
How much now?
Five or six gold a piece.
So go back to Wrath, everybody, and make some big gold. So for your rares, I would say if you have the patterns and you're just too overloaded, just start cutting those. They sell for 5 gold to the vendor. Otherwise, just either, you know, if you're really hooked on the icy prisms to get you those dragon's eyes, because actually I've sold almost all my dragon's eyes that I've made out of that for 120 to 140 gold. And so that's valuable for that. And then otherwise, just look them up on WoWhead and see if there's anything that you can craft out of them that is somewhat valuable. Like I said, I think there's a engineering scope that uses them. So, and I think actually one of the carpets from Lich King uses some of those.
Yeah, is it the Monarch?
Monarch Topaz.
Yeah, Monarch Topaz. Yeah. The yellow one. If you do a Saronite Shuffle, the good thing in it is that the Icy Prism uses 2 gems which you cannot use for doing the get the enchanting match.
Mm-hmm, yeah, the blue.
The green. The blue is the only one.
Yeah, the green and the purple you can't use for anything else, essentially.
Yeah.
Nice.
So go to Saronite Shuffle. You do your calculations and see if it's profitable.
All right.
It's all about the server.
It's all about the server. All right. Thanks a lot, Sorry, I might have said his name wrong. Vergadin. So we're gonna go ahead and take a break here really quick. And when we come back, we're going to do shout-outs. And, Nev, do you want to say post of the week this time?
Post of the week.
Yay, post of the week. And we'll wrap it up after that. So we'll be back in just a second.
Today I'm going to educate you all. I'm going to educate you about a little thing we like to call the parachute cloak. All you kids with your newfangled fancy flex weave underlays don't understand. What good is 30 seconds of slow fall when you can only use it once every minute? I go old school with the parachute cloak. Parachute cloak may only last 10 seconds, but I can use it every 30 seconds. When your life's on the line and you got people breathing down your neck, you need that slow fall, and you need it now. The parachute cloak. Engineers represent.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Power Gold Podcast. Segment 4, our fourth and final segment. I'm your host, Flux, along with my co-host, Joaquin.
Hi.
And Nev, gonna give you up, is our guest today, Nev.
Hiya.
And, all right, so let's get into shout-outs, the moment you've all been waiting for. So for comments this last week, we have 3 commenters that I wanted to give shout-outs to. Thank you to Fade, Shannon. Actually, Shannon's been chatting with me on my, as well, actually, as Nev, has been using my Meebo bar chat at the bottom of Power Word Gold in the center of the Meebo bar. There's a link that says chat with Power Word Gold now, and click on that. And if I'm online, or even if sometimes if I'm not online but I'm on my phone, you can ask me a quick question and I can get back to you right there and chit chat. So Shannon's been doing that, so thank you. And Court, thank you for leaving comments. And
we'll see you in court.
See you in court. All right, so let's go ahead and go on to Twitter. Twitter is a wonderful way to find out the latest gold making, like Joe Keen found out yesterday. When things tend to break on MMO Champion, they tend to pop up like popcorn on Twitter, and that's where you're going to get your latest. So follow me at Power Word Gold and Joe Keen at Joe Keen, which is J-O-K-I-N-E-E, and follow Nev, which is Nev A-H Addict. those are the Twitters. All right, so for the Twitter this week, people that we've been chit-chatting with and have been commenting and such, Gimps Gold. Actually, I just wanted to give a special shout-out to Gimps Gold. Their blog is really good. Really good. They just came out recently in the last couple weeks. I think they were added to the World of Warcraft Go blog directory last week. So you can find their blog on the World of Warcraft Go blog directory. And they used the phrase bits and bobs. So I have a feeling they might be British. Bits and bobs.
Yeah, that's very British.
Do you know what bits and pieces? Is there a Finnish word for like this and that, or bits and pieces, or
not really.
Odds and ends?
No.
They're all phrases that mean like a little bit of thing here and there or whatever. Odds and ends. Okay, never mind. He used bits and bobs. Have you read his blog at all, either of you? Gimp's Gold Adventure?
I've got Gimp on my blog roll. I've been following.
Yeah, he's been doing some good posts. I like his writing style, or hers. I'm sorry, I don't know if it's a good
No. I think, wasn't he on JMTC last week?
Possibly.
I think he's given by the accent, I'd say definitely Londonish.
Okay, good. Okay, we'll see. I'm learning.
He. Pretty sure it's a he.
Okay, good. Nev, of course, has been chatting with us on Twitter, and Alto's Gold. M. Sheritz, which actually is with him and Joe Keen, I'm going to have to eventually just start a whole Twitter section for my Power Word Gold, or for the World of Warcraft Gold blog directory, because you guys provide such good information, even though you only do it through Twitter. M. Sheritz, follow them if you don't. I love their icon. It's like an infinite slide with the portal from Portals. Like they have a portal on the top of the slide and a portal on the bottom of the slide. And so basically you slide down the slide and into the portal and back out to the top of the slide so you can slide forever. So,
oh, wonderful.
I don't know if you guys play Portal at all or played Portal. Yeah. Let's see. Smith, S. Smith 0911, which is cold. Amaranth's Love Wow. Bangkok Bill 555. And Bill explained to me that in Thailand, did I do this in the last podcast? In Thailand, the word for five is ha. So 555 means ha ha ha.
Oh, yeah.
Xander Aragon, Fadetastic, Gavin Neil Gray, Jimmy Dargosi, H. Wood Lockhart, Detective. and so thanks all you guys for chatting with us on Twitter. We are at about 118 followers on Twitter for Power Word Gold, so that's good. We always like more because you guys can give us good information, we can give you good information. All right, so now it's time to talk about new blogs on the World of Warcraft Gold blog directory. You can find the Gold blog directory by going to powerwordgold.net, clicking on the link at the top that says Gold blog directory, and scrolling down. The recent additions are one of them this week, which is Achieve Commitment. I think this blog has a ton of gold posts. I think it might also have a little bit of guild posts, but it has a ton of gold posts. So go ahead and check Achieve Commitment out. And that's written by Achieve. So check that out. And then I just wanted to bid a fond farewell to a icon of the gold blogging community who's moving on, which is Stockpile. If you've been in the gold community at all in the last, I don't know, long time, you know Stockpile. He has been one of the most prolific and detail-oriented and stockpiler types that's out there, and he's hit 2 million gold, so he's double capped, and he's kind of decided that WoW doesn't really seem to hold much interest for him anymore at the time, so he's moving on and playing Rift. So we wish him the best of luck, and if he decides to come back at some point, we'll be here with open eyes, ready to read his posts. So if you want to find out any of his posts, head to the World of Warcraft Gold blog directory and look for Stockpile. There is no C in Stockpile. Just a K.
There's no S in Princess. Or I mean.
No I. There's no I. There's here, let me give out the whole. There's no I in princess. There's no C in stockpile, and there's no S in fade. Her name is Fade, not Fades. So I always got that.
Nerf Fades.
But you should nerf Fades in the plural, yes.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Let's get on to posts of the week. All right. So let's see. I'm going to just go ahead and go over the posts of the week for this last week on the Powered Gold podcast. We had, starting it all off, is the Powered Gold podcast episode number 8, which was awesome. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Let's see, awesome. I'm doing my Joaquin accent and you do your American accent. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Nice.
That sounded like, I don't know.
Whatever.
Whatever, mate.
Mate. I'm from the lower
I don't care.
Side. I'm from the east side. I'm from Bright.
East side. No, yo, dog.
What city were they from? Or what area were they from?
I'm not saying.
You're not saying? Some part of Britain. All right. So we're not going to bash on British.
I'm from the west side.
West side, east side. Yeah. So I was trying to do my British accent. It was like an Australian accent mixed with a South African accent. So apparently my British accent's pretty bad. All right. So that was the Power Gold podcast. And on that episode, we talked about lots of different stuff. We had some good stuff. So go head over there and check out the show notes. They are there for your use and enjoyment. And then, did you read my post I put in the show notes about how smoking kills the internet?
Ah, no. I think I did.
But... Yeah, so you thought I was crazy last time when I was talking about a homeless person burning down the internet, but it's real. So,
yeah.
All right, yeah. So this last week we had Auction House Basics, Auctionator Shopping Lists. And that was a post essentially explaining... how to use Auctionator Shopping List to be able to find lots of items that you're using in particular crafting areas, or if you're keeping an eye out for certain ones, and it goes into a lot of detail there. And then the last one was Flux's Fireside Chat video, 2011-05-13, which is very hard to say, which is essentially May 13th. These are... a blatant ripoff of Fade and Slip, although I don't have the cool. No, I got permission. I don't have the cool, like the thing that she has at the front of her videos. So that's my version of it.
Yeah, the music before the podcast starts is like, what is it?
You're talking about for our podcast?
Yeah.
It's just some sort of... I made that music myself, so... It's...
Nice. You should be a musician. No, I kid.
I'll do a little beatbox. Alright.
What? This is Power World... Power Word...
Music.
Beatbox.
Power Word beatbox. Yo, we're gonna freestyle it. Alright. Yeah. So, go... Oh, so the video essentially is... although the podcast is awesome, it's like 2 hours long. It's like me, Joaquin, and Nev, and everybody talking. Like every once in a while, you just want to just talk about some particular topic. And I'm gonna start doing these like towards the end of the week. And if you know they're done mainly to just be quick and put together and put out there without a ton of fanfare and everything, so you can kind of get an idea about how some things are going. If I like them, I'll keep doing them. And if they get some decent feedback, people might be like, what? That didn't teach me anything. But if you want to play a game, you can try to pay attention to what I'm doing on the screen and listen to my voice at the same time, because I'm doing something completely different on the screen as I'm doing.
True. John, I want to play a game.
Yes, do you? Shall we play a game? Okay. Well, I think that is the end of my post of the week. So let's go ahead and head over to Nev, because Nev has a blog. So Nev, why don't you give us a little bit of what your post of the week has been this last week, and a little bit about each one.
Right, well, I've been a bit of a slow week this week. Real life sort of interrupted me a little bit, and then when I was ready to sit down and write, Blogger went.
Yay, Blogger!
So, basically, the very late last week, I did a post about cooking for gold, which we sort of covered a little bit earlier. The two new achievements for the food and the drinking cataclysm, and the chocolate cookies one.
Right as rain.
Yeah, that's it. So I've been cooking up the chocolate cookies and bits and pieces of food, as I mentioned earlier, and I did a post about it. A few comments. It's always nice.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to, do you mind if I talk about the pictures in the article?
No, I don't mind.
Oh, okay. So there's this awesome picture of cookies that look very tasty, and Nev actually took that picture. Stock photography. She took it. She took it herself. Dun, 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 dun. She's talented. Yeah. She's a photographer. So actually,
all the pictures on my blog are my pictures.
Nice.
So any photos that I use are mine. Nice.
Talent.
Actually, you did give me a fantastic idea when we were talking earlier in the week. You said about adding a picture here and there sort of thing, break it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in going through my rather considerable pile of photos, I was finding photos that I wanted to use that I like, and I was thinking of blog posts, titles. So it was a brilliant trigger for ideas.
Oh, wow.
So you'll have to wait and see which photos come out and see if you can work out how I hung the post on the photo sort of thing.
Nice. Now, let's just say somebody wants to purchase these photos for use on their blog post or on their site. Do you want to talk about how they could actually purchase the rights to use these?
I have an outlet on a website called istockphoto.com.
Uh-huh.
You can buy a subscription, or you can buy like tokens, and then you choose, obviously for a blog, you choose the very smallest,
mm-hmm.
and therefore the very cheapest. I think you have to buy them in like 25 or 50 tokens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you can use them as often as you like.
Nice.
It's royalty free, so there are limits to how you can use them, mm-hmm. and you won't be the only person with that photo.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, if you're paying $1 or $2 to use a photo, you're not going to be the only one using it.
Well, I'm being a graphic designer by trade, and I'm really a big advocate of respecting the rights, the digital rights of images in particular, and I will never use an image on my post that I don't have the rights to use. And so I really think that a lot of the bloggers out there tend to not really think much about where they're getting their images. They maybe just Google something or whatever, but you know, in the case of like, say you, for example, it's really good to pay the person that you're using. Do you have a username that people could find your actual photos on, or?
Well, it's what I'll do actually, rather than give it out and people to scrabble to write it down. I think what I'll do is under my contact details on my blog, perhaps I'll put a link, like a referral link, and also I'm on more than one. So the beauty of royalty free from the photographer's point of view is that it's not an exclusive contract.
Mm-hmm.
I have images on iStock, and I also have images, pretty much the same images in a lot of cases, on three or four other sites. So if people already have subscriptions, then they can access my photos if they wanted to through those subscriptions they already have.
Nice. Yeah.
And I might just put links on the photos.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
You know, direct through to various things.
Yeah, I've used iStock in the past, and I really like it. Go ahead.
we have a nice podcast. We talk about photos and music and cooking.
Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't everybody happy? We're coming to the end here. So what were we at? Oh, you were going through your post of the week. So you talked about cooking.
Yeah, I talked about cooking. And then I do a regular, either on a Monday or a Tuesday, I do a regular what's been selling this week. And most of the time, it's just the screenshot of my sales for the previous 7 days.
Mm-hmm. How and do you then, limit it down to 7 days? Do you just...
It's in the configuration. You type in your chat box, mm-hmm. you type /msconfig.
Uh-huh.
And
that's funny because that's actually a Microsoft command line.
Oh, right. Okay.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
I always have trouble typing MS window for the sales window because I always want Windows.
You can actually make a macro and put an icon on it and stick it on your bar somewhere. That'll do that.
I never think of things like that. It's too easy.
I had one for my Zool auctions. Yeah, Zool new heroic dungeon coming out next. Zool auctions. You need item level 250. You need this much gold in your bank in order to access this dungeon, and it has exclusive cross faction auction house. That would be pretty awesome. Zool auctions. No, zero auctions. That's a good idea, right? That'd be awesome. Have a special auction that could go directly to the Horde of the Alliance, but you needed to have gold capped in order to access it. So.
That would be.
We don't have a gold clap.
We don't have a golf clap. Golf clap.
Yeah.
Golf clap for the. In case you can't tell, somebody got on our case a little bit this week, Alto, about being gold capped and whether that was. Well, let's talk about that in a second. I won't get into that. Okay, Nev, so keep going. So
basically, I just pull out the top page of my sales of items for the week and talk a little bit about what's been selling and what I've changed and what surprised me. And then Blogger finally decided to give me back my post.
Yeah, I was so. You should have heard me on Skype yesterday. We were talking. I was like,
"He nearly deafened me, people. He nearly deafened me when I said, oh, my post is back." He said, "Really?"
Really? Well, because I was going to have to like patch it back together from an email version of it that I'd gotten. Oh, by the way, if you like email, you can get the Power Word Gold podcast by email. So go find the link, find the little chat box where you can put in your email and sign up. So, okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I did lose my comments on there, so I might cut and paste because I have the email comment notification.
Oh, okay.
So I might cut and paste the comments back in.
That's a good idea.
Because there was actually a little conversation going on, so I might do that as well. Probably do that tomorrow morning now. But basically, we were talking earlier about the Wrath gems, mm-hmm. the four colors of uncommons, disenchanting. Well, making the rings and disenchanting them into infinite dust. So that was my post on Thursday, which actually finally reappeared late Friday.
Much to my excitement.
So it's there now. So it's, as I say, it's been a slow week. I usually try and do three. I like to try and push four if I can.
Yeah.
But it very much depends on real life and obviously inspiration as well. So there we go. That's
all
my
right.
week.
Awesome. And if you're on her site, you can actually click on her, and you want some t-shirts that have World of Warcraft on them, you can click on some of her t-shirts and hats, right? From Zazzle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love my Zazzle.
Actually, Blogger was down when I got it going, but you're able to buy swag from a new service that I put out. Called Power Word Swag. It's let me just make sure I have it here. It's a Cafe Press. It's a Cafe Press site, and it's pretty.
Traitor.
Well, if you tell me what's so good about Cafe Press or about Zazzle compared to Cafe Press, then I might.
I'll be honest. I don't know. I haven't tried Cafe Press, but the Zazzle forums are full of ex Cafe Press people. I think they were the from what I've read in the forums, they were long time users, mm-hmm. and there was a change of terms of service.
Oh.
And I think there as there often is when things change, people don't like the changes, so they move.
Yeah.
and
if you
Zaxel benefited.
Yeah. Well, I might end up switching over to another service. I think both of these services, I know Cafe Press has been around for quite a while, but if you, well, not quite a while, but anyways, blah, 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 blah. Head to cafepress.com/powerwordswag, all one word, and you can click and you can see our first designs that we got out there, which is pretty awesome. I like them. They are pretty cool. So you have to go to this site to see the designs. Or eventually there'll be an ad on Power Word Gold, but I couldn't do it because Blogger was broken. So is that the end of your posts this
week?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's all I've managed this far.
I wanted to bring up one last topic for us to have a chit-chat about before we sign off here on the Power Word Gold podcast. And that is a discussion that we had with Alto this week. We had some good chit chat with him, me and Joaquin, but we also kind of came to a disagreement at one point, and it wasn't like a Twitter blow up or anything, but essentially Alto's belief was that if you've been gold capped, then there's a good chance you know what you're doing making gold, which is granted. I grant him that if somebody is gold cap, they probably know what they're doing. But me and Joaquin's take on it was that, at least my take is that it doesn't matter to me how much gold you have. Let's see. I don't base my judgment of you or your ideas on how much gold you have or how much gold
well,
acquired.
It's like if you criticize food, you don't have to really be even average cooker by yourself.
Yeah.
Same thing. You don't have to know how to do something. It's a bit the same thing, but really, it doesn't make you a better gold maker that you have more gold, because it's more about how much effort you put into it and how much time do you use it every day.
Yeah. His point to us was the point that kind of stuck in my craw about what he said was that we were giving our point of view about how we didn't think gold cap was that important, and he asked us, are you gold capped? And then we said no, and then Joaquin said no, and then he goes, well, it seems to me that most of the people I talk to that say that gold cap isn't important is people that aren't gold capped. And so I don't really believe like that. He's essentially saying that you're doing sour grapes basically on gold cap because you can't reach it, I guess, or you know, you haven't arrived. I don't know. I think it's a matter of personal opinion, but I don't judge somebody based on how much gold they have in their bank. Like you said, Joaquin, you don't have to be a culinary expert or a chef in order to tell that you maybe don't like some food that you eat, or that, you know, maybe what's wrong with it. So
it's just stupid that you cannot know something if you haven't achieved. In this point, it's just matter of time, not matter of skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyone could have reached their cold cap by shuffling too cheap ore and vendor everything.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever reach gold cap. It's just not a priority to me. Like, honestly, and I don't say that because I'm sour grapes on people that are at gold cap. I just think for me the thrill of the auctioning and the gold making is more the thrill of the hunt. And not necessarily acquisition. I don't tend to set monetary goals for myself, although I know for a lot of people it really helps them, you know, focus on their gold making, focus their gold making and stuff. So I'm more of a just, I like to do it because I like to do it, and the gold that comes is just a side effect of what I'm actually doing, you know. So it's a mini game inside of a game kind of thing. Nev, do you have any ideas about that?
I'm very much target driven.
Mm-hmm.
So I've set 1 million as my target.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people on the way up, yeah, okay, if someone's got 20, 25 grand and, you know, quite low levels of gold and they're writing a gold blog about, oh, you should do this, you should do that, then perhaps, you know, take it with a pinch of salt, because use your brain, use mm-hmm. your brain. And it's the same. It doesn't matter whether you've got 1 million, 2 million or 1,000. If you're giving good advice yeah. and you've got, and then the reader has got their brain engaged, then it can work for everyone.
Yeah.
So it's the quality of the information you need to go on and judge it by your own experience. I think the problem is, of course, that a lot of people reading the blogs are perhaps inexperienced. They may have a brain, but they don't necessarily have the experience of the game mm-hmm. to know whether it's good or bad advice.
That's true.
But then the only advice you can give from there is to read lots of blogs. And if you see the same advice coming out of lots of blogs,
yeah.
then perhaps, you know, it's not such a bad idea. Because bad advice, let's face it, would get jumped on.
Yeah, this is a perfect example. If I would have been the first one saying that Obsidian Shuffle has Obsidian or had this certain vendor price, if you sell everything to vendor, so that means the floor price of Obsidian is this.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't had a call cap, would that made my information less
no.
What's the word?
Valid.
Valid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Would that make no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could think so. It's just not right. It doesn't make it more invalid just because I don't have a cold cap.
Yeah.
But then again, don't you think that an awful lot of the bloggers don't have gold cap yet?
Well, to be honest, I don't really care. As long as the things they blog about work, it doesn't matter at all.
I think there's just GIMP did a really good post about the different types of gold makers, and I just think some people are, like you said, more kind of goal oriented or like to yeah. see like to hit goals and target oriented, and some of us aren't, and I don't know. I mean, it's personally I put more stock in someone's personality and the way that they treat me than anything else, and the way I feel about the writing. A blogger can have great writing, but they can be a complete mean person. That's like it could be a complete jackass to everyone around them, and then I'll be less likely to pay attention to them in the future, just because, you know, I tend to judge people based on the way I see them acting and treating other people around. So it's caused me some heartache in certain times when somebody that I read for a long time I saw acting out and being kind of untoward, like against other people, and it just kind of like soured my view of them. And I don't know, it's just a personal thing for me. But I like people that are outgoing and helpful and provide good content, and for the most part are upbeat. Those are the kind of people I tend to gravitate towards. And honestly, I don't really pay much attention to. Like, I don't honestly read WoW Econ, like, or Warcraft Econ. I know that the blog comes out. I have them on my blog roll. They have information once in a while, but I probably should read more of those 500K or 1K or 1 million post interviews. But I don't know. It's not as interesting to me, I guess, that point of it. So the question I was going to ask...
My targets.
Huh?
I won't be in that 1 million club.
There you go. You want to be, right?
Yeah, that's my end game.
There you go.
For me. Because the guild I'm in, we're not ready to raid.
Yeah.
We're barely managing HC. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's gold making, you know?
Yeah. And I think the people that get there deserve recognition for it. And I think, wow, Warcraft Econ is a great forum for that. My question, though, maybe to you, Nev, is that it seems that you're quite a bit further ahead than, say, I am in the gold making, like in the gold balance area. And so my question is, does your gold making change the higher that you get in value? Does your mind shift, or is there things you can do or consider not that you never even considered doing in the past that you do, or do you just do the same thing to consistently get to the end?
Well, I hit 500k 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually this week on my what's been selling this week, I put a little graph. I keep a tally. I'm just out of habit, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. It was pretty cool.
And I've been graphing my weekly gold balance, and you can see when Kata hit. You can see when I took up JC and the shuffle, and I've marked when I bought the Maelstrom crystals because mm-hmm. the market's going to drop. So you can see just how consistent my graph is, and I was absolutely gobsmacked. I don't know if that's an expression you
it
guys
is. Know. I've heard of it, yeah.
I was absolutely gobsmacked with how regular my weekly amount is.
It's like a straight, almost like a straight line.
Almost a straight line. But also at 500k, I decided, no, I'm not going to do this all the way to a million. I don't want to just glyph all mm-hmm. the way to a million. Which is where the jewel crafting and the leather working and all the other bits and pieces are coming in. I'm trying to find an additional market so that I can increase my weekly.
Okay.
And I just want that graph to start creeping up at a faster rate.
Yeah.
Maybe plateau on another straight line and find something else and plateau and mm-hmm. then another straight line. It's, to be honest, it's not so much the gold. It's the fact that they're numbers. It's a competition I have with myself.
Yeah.
You know, how much gold can I make today, or how can I analyze this? And I'm just very, very number orientated.
Well, there's one thing I notice about World of Warcraft in general, and I think one of its biggest appeals to players, and I thought about this a lot. I've worked in the MMO industry for about 6 years and in various different areas, and so I thought a lot about MMOs, and the reason I think people enjoy World of Warcraft so much is that in the real world, you have bosses, you have responsibilities, you have very little control over a lot of the aspects of your life. I mean, you know, there's things in your life that you don't really have much control over. And so in World of Warcraft, when you sit down and play in World of Warcraft, you get to do exactly what you want to do. You get to be the hero. You get to get positive feedback, which isn't something that you always get in the real world. Even if you do a good job, you might not always get an attaboy or a pat on the back. In World of Warcraft, you can see your level go up. If you put in effort, you get reward. You put in effort, you get reward. And I think that even though it's a video game and it's not real, it's that positive feedback that you get, you know, ding, you know, grats. You have people gratsing you, and you in this world, you're rewarded for what you do, and you have control over things, and it's your one area where you can kind of have this persona and this control over it and feel good about what you're doing. And I think gold making really ties into that, because you know that if you put in the effort, you can increase, you know, your gold balance, or you can enjoy your time doing gold, and you can get positive feedback from that. In the real world, you don't always have positive feedback because you got bills and you got work and you got all these other things that, you know, could potentially be there to, you know, it's a nice, I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys.
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. To be honest, did I tell this in last podcast? But anyways, I will tell it now. I quit the whole MFC market just because I don't feel like it. It's just stupid. Just sitting in a city and making more cards or just trying to find something else to invest my money and have limited things to do because I need to bark all the time. I cannot really go solo things to get mounts or anything, which I'm doing, or camping Poseidus and while I'm barking. So I just quit it and I will bark a few times while I'm posting my gems on my DK, and I will get some sales, but not at the scale I used to sell. So it's just, I don't like it. It's just stupid, just sitting and doing nothing and getting lots of gold. Well, huge amounts, but not like, well, it's
you
just
want you want some sort of challenge to it. If something gets too easy, it's not as interesting to you, I think, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, if I now would find something new to make just huge amounts of gold and I don't have a gold cap, for an example, I would be like, would I be stupid because I don't have cold cap and it wouldn't be a good idea because I don't have a cold cap? That's just weird.
It's Joaquin's cigarette intake went up after yesterday's chat. What were you going to say, Nev?
I don't know, I've forgotten.
The
mysterious fortune cards. I didn't do them straight away because I couldn't see the mathematics working. And then I did get into them for a while, and I was doing a lot of barking, but I was also doing a lot of talking in guild chat. Being an officer, a lot of my guildies call me auntie. I'm the one who I'll have 4, 5, 6, 8 conversations going at once, sometimes in whispers.
Do you use WHIM for that, or how do you handle all those whispers?
Just standard chat window.
You need to get window WoW Instant Messenger. It'll change your life. It pops up a new message window for everyone, and then when you can close it, and then it can pop back up when it goes away. It's really awesome. Anyways.
Let me write that down. What was that called?
WoW Instant Messenger.
WoW Instant Messenger. Thank you.
It'll change. I hope it's updated. I haven't seen if it's updated yet for this patch, but I use the actual default right now because I don't have Windows Instant Messenger working, but I have the where it pops up each whisper into its own little tab on the chat window.
Yeah.
There's that option. I have it turned on. So, so Auntie, tell us what you were talking about, Auntie.
Yeah, I used to do a fair... originally, I didn't. I did a post about, no, I won't be doing them. And then I did a post, actually, yes, I will be doing them. And I got into them again last week for a little while. Because I do a lot of hanging around in Stormwind. Making stuff for guildies and glyphs and, you know, milling and everything else. But I can understand exactly what Joaquin's saying about, you know, it's, you want to get out in this huge, fantastic world of WoW that they've made. You do need to leave the city sometimes.
Yeah, so, yeah, the point is that if I keep making stupid cards all the time and achieving the cold cap, well, why I need to prove that I should get the cold cap? Do I need to prove someone that I'm able to make it? It's just...
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
No sense.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Joaquin, I won't judge you. I still... I don't even know how... I put you on the podcast, I didn't know who you were. No, just joking.
You're joking?
I was joking. You're joking and I'm joking. No, the reason I put you on the podcast was because you had really, really good ideas and you're eloquent and everything. So that's why I put you on. So, plus you agreed to come on. So, all right. Well, I think that's getting close to wrapping it up for this.
Did we give shout outs already?
Yes. Do you want to give a special shout outs? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for us.
Go ahead, Joaquin. Shout out for Joaquin. No. let's talk. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, if you gave the shout outs, I think I just don't remember.
Okay, it was about 29 or 30 minutes ago, so those were done pretty quick. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode number 9. We're almost in the double digits.
Woohoo!
cats. Woo woo. And we pulled ahead of Auction House Junkies with this episode, as long as they don't put out an episode in the next 3 days. So, not like we're a competition or anything.
We need to watch our competition.
So yeah, you know, they're on our friends list. We, you know, there's a reason. So all right, I want to just give the information again. So if you want to find the Power Word Gold blog, it's powerwordgold.net. You can find us on Twitter at Power Word Gold, and you can find we have a Facebook page. Thank you for everybody that listened to my request. I apologize for last week not doing like the goofy funny commercials. I'm bringing those back again this week. At the time, I just kind of was interested in just talking to people, but we got 37 people following us on Facebook, so that was exciting, because once I get 30, then I could start doing analytics on Facebook and seeing what Facebook posts people like. So thank you for everybody that liked us on Facebook. Be sure to sign up. You get exclusive content, photos, and stuff that you can't really find anywhere else. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you can find that link on our page. We have 46 subscribers on our YouTube channel. Yay! So that's pretty awesome. And then yeah, I think that's that for that. And then, Joaquin, do you want to give them how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, I'm Joaquin. As I told, I don't have a blog, but you can follow me on Twitter. It's spelled Joaquinee.
All right. So follow him. He's got some awesome information that I always like to. Plus, he likes Friday, so that's good. Nev, do you want to give out your vital details on how people can get a hold of you?
You can follow me on Twitter at NevAHAddict, all one word. And my blog is at ahaddict.blogspot.com.
All right. Thank you so much. And is there anything else? Yes. If you want to ask your question, send it to powerwordgold@gmail.com. Or send us an MP3. And this week we actually, or you can leave a comment on this post, the post for this podcast. We have our first MP3 gold tip. This is something that I want to encourage every gold blogger out there and fan and Twitterer. Anybody that wants their voice heard on the Power Word Gold podcast, we're going to be putting all of those after the ending music. So don't shut off the podcast right when we end and you hear the music, because afterwards you're going to get some good gold tips. We got our first gold tip, MP3 gold tip this week from Gray's BDF. So I'm pretty excited about that.
He's my awesome fan.
He's his awesome. He's Joaquin's drinking buddy from Sweden. So they get drunk on Twitter all on the weekends. So, I'm just going to get his. So if you want to follow his blog, Gray's, it's Wow or Gold. And the URL for that is woworgold.blogspot.com. And so if you have a blog, send in a really short tip. If you don't have a way to record but you have a microphone, you can try using that the software called Audacity. Audacity. Go look that up in Google and download that. It's free, and you can record your own. Or if you have an iPhone or a smartphone, a lot of times they have voice recorders that can save MP3s on that, or whatnot. And send in your MP3, and we'll play it after the show so that you can get people. Make sure if you have a blog to include your URL so that people will know how to get a hold of your blog. So we got one of those this week, and maybe next week we'll get two. Maybe we'll increase by 100%. So that's pretty awesome. All right, is there anything else, Joaquin or Nev, you guys would like to say before we wrap it up?
Never gonna give you up.
I'd just like to say thank you for inviting me onto the show.
Yeah.
I've been listening since show one and thoroughly enjoyed it. And you and Auction House Junkies basically got me hooked on podcasts. So now I'm a regular on about 8 or 10 different podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love podcasts. Well, thank you. We're so glad to have you on. Again, thank you for the awesome blog that got me going early on in the beginning and taught me about the wonders of Murgle Snout. Even though you told me that my title was mispronounced, Muggle Snout. obviously I had so many readers at that point that they were just like, he obviously knows what he's talking about. I think I don't know how it's funny when you start a blog and you have like, you're so excited for your get two readers or three readers. Yeah, I'm so excited. So Muggle Snout. Muggle Snout is a different type of food that's made out of muggles. So all right, everybody.
I'm losing it now.
I know. All right, everybody, thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
When Ruski's on the road.
Ruski's on the road.
Toodles.
All right.
Whatever.
You're listening to the Power Word Gold podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft.
All right, enough goofing around. Let's get back to the show.
This is Grace BDF from woworgold.blogspot.com, which is my blog. My gold tip is, if you have an alt, especially if it has herbalism, mining, or skinning, and I would rather have two of those, like double farming, then you can go to Vashir or Abyssal Depths and farm the rares there, the rare spawns. And while you do that, you herb and you mine or skin if you kill mobs, and etc. And that way, if you do it with an alt that's below 85, you get XP. You get the mats like ore, herbs, or skins. And you also, if you find the rares, you get to kill those, which is extra XP, as well as you get a 100% chance on getting drops of different kinds. If you're a horde, since I'm horde, the gnome, Burgi, Ron Burgundy, drops a funny costume that turns into a little gnome. So I walk around with him in the city. Anyway, let me stay on track here. So if you kill those, you get blue drops. And I know that Lady Lala and Shock Rasha Shasha drops BOE gear that you can sell in the AH. And then the mount which yields most gold, unless you're a petaholic and wants to keep the pet, you can farm for Poseidus and sell that mount probably for, I don't know, 150K or something. That's what I'm hoping for, at least, when I get it. So that's what I'm doing right now. That's my gold tip. I could speak forever, but I won't. Great blog. Well, actually, great podcast. Whatever. Have fun.